You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are excited because soccer is coming back, baby.
That's right,
Major
baby.
League Soccer announces all the news about CBA getting ratified, and we're going to have a tournament in Orlando. So we're going to be having MLS real soon.
Plus, we're also going to talk to Andre Shinyashiki. We're going to ask him about that contract ratification. Plus, what was up with that hair? That and more on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Let's go!
No longer.
Yes, because we, you know what? Frankly, we need it. All right.
No, I need my own. It's almost like a placebo, okay? Which is a sugar. Which what I don't know if you do this with your placebo. I crush it up and I put it in my coffee. It's a sugar pill.
I just snort it. I don't know what you're doing.
Oh, it's lit. Yo, this Adderall sucks. Like, no, Christian. That's my coffee sugar pill.
Yo, I think this Adderall, it's not effective. It's almost like it's a placebo. Anyway. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Yes, we got to get silly because it's been an emotionally jarring and exhausting weeks. So we're excited to be here and be back with you. So
that's right.
Yes, hello. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians. That host the funniest soccer show that you've ever
seen. That's right. Pretend comedy still exists because not only are we the best and the funniest, we're also the gulliest. Right?
Correct. Yeah, bro. I gotta update my LinkedIn profile, deleted comedian, because they were like, occupation is not real.
Yeah. They were like, question mark, asterisk. I'm like, who put all this on there? Yeah, it's been tough. It's been tough a few weeks. But, Christian, I mean, look. It seems like it's one thing after another, right? You've got COVID, you've got the lock-in, you've got all of the mental health issues that can come from staying trapped in your apartment, you know? And then after that, we've got the horrific police brutality and everything that's like the beautiful signs of scenes of unity that have come after that, but just the overwhelming emotional sort of back and forth. But I think the only reason it's affected, all of this has affected you so much is because you didn't see the same thing I saw. You know,
ooh, what did you see that I did not?
You
see?
Didn't watch what I would consider the most unifying moment in human history.
Ooh.
The MLS David Guetta concert.
Oh, that collab.
Yeah, it was. Wow. I don't even know what else to say. David Guetta, a French man.
That's
solved
right.
Racism.
A Frenchman, some would say.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Right? He, a human baguette, solved racism. He said shouts to his family.
To George
it was
Ford.
Super uncomfortable.
It was very uncomfortable. If you haven't seen this clip, yes, it's obviously David Guetta on a New York City rooftop. When
I don't think it was New York. I think it might have been London.
You think so?
Yeah.
I thought it was New York City.
It might have been New York. Who knows?
I don't know. But he's on a rooftop, and I'm pretty sure everyone, he was in Miami. We're just getting confirmation.
Which, you know what? Makes a bit more sense. Right?
You know, I think, I'm sure there was trash cans on fire right beneath him, but look past that to really
from
send
the sky, you can't see, you know?
It just looks like a traffic light, I think.
Yeah. If anything, I thought those were soccer fans lighting flares because this is so lit.
No, it's just a very, when it comes to MLS getting publicity, sometimes these things happen by accident, but there's a clip of David Guetta on a rooftop, and then he's basically and obviously all completely well-intentioned, obviously.
Yes.
This was a fundraiser for COVID-19. He raised a ton of money, he's doing amazing work, so thank you, David Guetta. But the tone deafness of this approach,
lacking self-awareness, not reading the room.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And I get it that he's not English isn't his first language,
Yeah. But he's seen a couple, you know, rap videos. He knows how they talk.
He got it.
So I'm gonna connect with the community.
Oh, the youth needs me to speak to them, and they're like, no one said that, David. No, I got this.
Yo, give me the mic.
Yo, in fact, I'm gonna make a remix of Dr. King's speech, and everyone's like, yo, David, we're almost specifically telling you not to do that, and he's like, I said I got it.
Oh, are you not an ally like I am?
Wow. Is it Backwards Tuesday? Because I hear you saying don't, and my brain is saying le deux. I don't know what it means.
Yes. Yes. So look, he is, the clip that was going viral is the one, and the last one I saw, it was from just some random person posted it. It had about nearly 5 million views of him, you know, giving, he basically, you know, paying his respects, showing some respect for the George Floyd family by saying, shout out to his family, which is already a little strange.
Well, he starts off by saying things are very difficult in the world. And in the United States too. It's like, bruh. I get this stuff happening all over the world, right? I mean, Google Darfur, you know what I mean? stuff. But you happen to be here right now. Things are a little lit right now because of this one situation. If you don't talk about it, they'll just be like, oh yeah, you know, the United States be going through a little bit too, you know?
I just to confirm, that concert was in New York City. There was another one in Miami before, a month ago, but this one was in New York City. So he is he's playing music, he's doing his thing, and then he's like, I got something special. And brings in the Martin Luther King.
It's a Martin Luther King, it's the I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know how else to explain it besides it's laid under what is quite possibly the most stereotypically EDM song of all time. So it starts off, I have a dream, and then it continues to the end of the first sentence, and then the beat drops, and that's when David Guetta just starts like dancing. He's like, I don't know what y'all ain't dancing. I'm feeling it. Why is everyone crying?
I'm out here doing a two-step for Dr. King. I don't know about you.
Oh, I'm sorry if my shoulder bounce is trying to end hatred. what are y'all doing? I don't see y'all making remixes.
Okay, I'm trying to shimmy the racism away. Okay?
You know? Special delivery. We got rid of racism.
Oh my God.
This is so dumb. I needed this. I needed this so bad. Thank you, MLS.
Thank you, David Guetta. Oh man.
Hopefully that lightened your mood. You know what I mean? Just a little bit of laughing, a little bit of joy. It's the first time I think I've laughed that hard in a while. But more shocking news, though, apparently the league, because of this COVID situation, has lost, as per Don Garber, $1 billion in revenue.
Well, we'll lose. Yeah, that is a projected loss of for MLS and what this, you know, and look, everybody's going through this, right? From this is affecting every league, from, you know, when MLS to, you know, a janitor working somewhere or whatever.
Billion, though? I mean,
there's some rich janitors, bro.
Who's that janitor with all that ice? Oh, you don't know? You don't know Johnny Garber?
No. So at least we know a few more details as far as, you know, look, I mean, this news is going to come out because, you know, when it comes, it's from a negotiating perspective and how we got to where we are and you know, coming up, we'll talk to Andre Shinyashiki about those kind of details in a, you know, a little bit more. But the league has to be like, a little woe is me. This is going bad for me. This is what we had to do.
It's like a small business owner talking to his accountant. He's like, I'm losing money everywhere. I don't even know what you're talking.
Yeah, I can't pay you, accountant. You clearly see I'm losing so much.
It's ridiculous. Rolex, I found it. You know? it's always playing like the law is just trying to get that money back. I didn't know this about the tournament either. This isn't going to replace the 2020 season.
No. This is just a kind of stopgap. This is just this is almost like a hyper preseason. It's gonna have.
Why don't they just play the regular season games? Who gives a shit?
No, because the teams can't play in their home venue, so it's not really fair to any real degree.
Oh,
so this is just
who cares?
Just a one-off tournament, $1 million prize, You get a trophy, so it'll give incentive at least for the players to take it seriously.
Or like
$1 million is at stake. What'd you say?
$1.01 billion. So they're going to lose because they got to pay this $1 million.
Okay. I'm glad you
see, I did the math there. Listen, we're going to go to break.
Yes, we will be right back with Andre Shinyashiki of the Colorado Rapids to talk about this upcoming MLS tournament and season.
Let's go. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the show so far. We just want to give you a word from, this isn't really a sponsor, but this is a great place to donate, I think, in light of everything that's happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of people have just kind of wondered what they can do to help and how to support with either the protests or talking about police reform or just getting more informed or anything like that. There's a bunch of people doing great work, kind of compiling all that information. And one of them that was really, really great was a link. It's called blacklivesmatters.card.co.
With two R's in card.
Correct. And again, Black Lives Matters. .card with two R's .co. And if you go to our Twitter page, just at Soccer Cooligans, it's our pinned tweet. You can click on it. You can see.
It's a big resource. It tells you like a lot of different places you can sign petitions, how to text who and how to text or call, where to donate, even more resources.
Exactly. And even information for if you're a protester, what to bring with you, what best practices, how to stay safe. There's a lot of information there. That I found super useful. There's also another link. If you just look at that thread, there's a link called secure.actblue.com, which is if you want to donate. Some people don't know who to donate to. There's a lot of there's just a lot of places that you can help support, and it could be overwhelming or confusing.
Or you don't know how much to give who. You know,
you don't even know if it's real, right? That's been another like concern. But this is another. A great opportunity if you do want to donate. Like you can donate to, you basically make one donation and it splits it amongst about like 10 different groups. Like,
so I'll read them. It's Black Lives Matter Global Network, Reclaim the Block, National Bailout, Black Visions Collective, NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, the National Police Accountability Project, Color of Change Education Fund, Unicorn Riot, Campaign Zero, Advancement Project, and the Marshall Project. So one donation to act to secure .actblue.com/donate/AB_MN, which again you could just click on it if you go to our social media, but one if you go to our Twitter, I should say, if you one donation will split that up amongst all of those different groups, so you'll be able to support the entire lot in one chunk, which is absolutely amazing.
Exactly. So yeah, please do that. If I know a lot of people are not in a place to be able to donate, but this is why looking at that resource from you know the card.co link, there's other things that you can do, and it's not if you don't have money at the moment. There's other ways you can help. So I encourage everybody to check that out. And yeah, all we can say is thank you for listening to the show, for supporting, for protesting, for fighting for what is right and trying to initiate real change in the world. So we appreciate you. And with that said, let's get back to the show.
All right, we're back on the Cooligans, and our guest is here. Christian, this is exciting.
Yeah, I'm quite excited because a lot has been going on when it comes to Major League Soccer. A lot of news, and this is, finally an opportunity. This is our first player after the players. They put pen to paper, ratified the deal. Soccer in the U.S. again.
They're signing a deal with Def Jam. They've agreed. They're putting out a record. Now, this is amazing because what we're about to talk to is last year's Rookie of the Year, right? And then how do you follow that up? You know, you want to have an even bigger season? Psych! There's a pandemic. So let's talk to this dude because we're absolutely
hold
amazing.
Hold up a second.
No, I know you got plans, my guy.
I see you thriving, but like, hold up.
We're just going to let a couple people cough and see what happens to your sophomore season. But this dude, absolutely amazing. Finally got rid of the weirdest hair dye on a mustache in soccer history. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Andre Shinyashiki. Cheeky, everybody.
What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate all the kind words. And yeah, definitely a weird time right now. And kind of messing up my sophomore season, but, you know, we'll make the most out of it, of course.
Very much so. So, you know what? I think we should start with what Alexis just mentioned, because that hairstyle, that mustache choice, everything. I mean, from the
hazing is rude these days. And I'm from
the interaction with Zlatan. You've been, the last couple of months have been wild for you. So let's please talk about that hairstyle. What made that happen? Did you lose a bet? What happened?
Okay, so the whole, there was just a lot of things happening at that time. It was actually on a serious note, it was the awareness for cancer month, right, and everybody wears yellow. So I was like, oh, that's coming up. I should do something funny for that, like to raise awareness. It's not a funny cause, but obviously, like, we try to, you know, stay positive in all scenarios. So I was like, what should I do? And I was just thinking about stuff. And then a month before, Kellen Acosta had dyed his hair blonde, and I was just chirping him all the time, saying how bad it looked. And I was just like, I got to do something worse just to see if he – just to mess with him. And then Sarah, who's like part of like our team administration, was like, Andre, you should dye your facial hair blonde. And I was like, Sarah, I'm going to look ridiculous. Like, dude, we can't do that. She was like, no, let's do it. It's like, it's a good idea. Like, let's do it, whatever. So then I go to the – like, I went to an actual like barbershop or whatever, salon. Did the thing
after they finished laughing, then they got your face.
This looks ridiculous. I gotta do my hair so it looks a little bit less ridiculous.
Okay.
So the hair wasn't an attempt to fix the mustache.
Hold on. Is there a photo somewhere of just your facial hair blonde and the rest of your hair not?
I think Sarah might have one, but it was like, it was the day before the game, so nobody had seen it. It was a Friday afternoon. So I went to training Friday, looked normal. Nobody thought anything. Then I did that, and then I was like, but I don't want to pay for somebody else to do my hair, so I'm just going to do it myself. So I dyed my own hair with my girlfriend at the time. She helped me out, and that thing just looked orange. It was like straight up orange. I was like, oh, my God, I look like an absolute idiot right now. Like, I'm going to start tomorrow. Like, it's the game against – I think that game was actually against Seattle. I was like, I'm going to start against Seattle. Like, this is going to be crazy. It's like, whatever. Like, let's see how this goes. So then I show up to the game. And I mean, the guys are just like, what in the world is happening? Like, you look absolutely ridiculous. And then like, of course, the Rapids take the pictures of everybody arriving. And mine is the first one off. It's like,
hell yeah.
Cornel Sanders on Twitter. Like, everybody is just giving me so much crap. And I'm taking it because I did it to myself, right? Yeah. So I have to take it. But it was fine. And then we get to the game. Boom. I scored two goals. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, and I'm very superstitious. So I was like, I scored two goals. It's my first multi-goal game ever. Like, got to keep it. Yeah. Got to keep it. So then we play the Galaxy on a Wednesday, on a midweek game. And I was like, okay, I'm keeping this. Because, I mean, I played well against Seattle. Gotta keep it against the Galaxy. We play against the Galaxy. I ball out. I get a PK. There's the whole thing with Zlatan. Like, I'm on the spotlight. And then I was like, this is it. Like, this, the hair, the facial. Yeah, yeah. And then by the time it was like black and yellow because it was like, it was starting to grow. It just looked so stupid. And then we went to play Toronto on Saturday. I played like crap and I was like, okay, I'm getting rid of this and just shaved it off.
It's probably the first time in history a soccer player is like, thank God I played horribly. I can get rid of this stupid facial.
I was like, I lost the ball. I was like, I did like two sick moves in the middle of the field. Played a through ball. It got intercepted. They went and scored and then we lost 3-2. And I was just like, all right, this is it. I'm cutting this thing off.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask about that. You played the Galaxy and a crazy moment that went viral with those fans that were running after Zlatan, that they ran onto the field. Yeah. And then you're there. I think you're asking to like swap jerseys or you're asking for a jersey. It was just the photos, the videos, like in slow motion. I'm like, there's so much going on here. Yeah, what was Andre thinking?
Those 120 frames per second were filled with action.
there was a lot of things going on. And I didn't even realize it. Like, so the game was over and we usually go to the C38, which are our supporters, to like thank them.
Centennial 38.
And then I remember, oh, my dad asked me to get Zlatan's jersey for him. And I look over, Zlatan's already on the other side of the field walking away. So I get on my horses and start literally sprinting to Zlatan. So, and I'm just looking at Zlatan. I'm not looking at anything else going on. And that's when I just see like two random kids just coming flying in. He kind of like stops. It's kind of like a football, like when the running back stops and the defense just goes right through it and just like literally falls so hard. And then another guy comes and the security just jumps on him. And Zlatan is just like looking around like, what in the world is going on? And yeah, shows the passion of the Colorado Rapids fans for Zlatan, not for the actual Rapids. But
did you get the jersey?
Yeah. And then, yes, I asked for his jersey. He's like, I'll give it to you inside, because obviously with all of that going on, it was like too much. And then I was like, he's probably not going to give it to me, whatever. And then I tell my kit man, like, hey, Hayden, can you like go give him my jersey? Because I asked for his jersey instead of giving him his. Like, yeah, I'll do it. So he comes back with the Zlatan jersey. I'm buzzing. I was like, damn, this is sick. Like, I got his jersey. And then I'm giving an interview in the – in the like the mixed zone type of deal where like all the players are walking and stuff, and he comes up to me and he's like, hey, did you get the jersey? Like good game. And I was like, yeah, thank you. And he was like actually like super nice. So it was amazing. It was
the first time somebody's ever said something nice about Zlatan.
So yeah, for cool. sure. He didn't roundhouse kick someone standing next to you.
Yeah, the media definitely paints him somehow, and he does it to himself. But I think he enjoys just like having that kind of Jekyll and Hyde, like, personality type of deal.
Yeah, I watched the Jordan documentary. I know how sometimes you need that anger to succeed.
You know, we're recording this on Wednesday, June 3rd. Literally just a couple hours ago, we learned the players voted to ratify the collective bargaining agreement. You guys will be playing in Orlando pretty much just in a couple weeks. How was this experience for you? I know even being a young player, but being a professional now, kind of dealing with, you know, a union and deals and figuring out, like, you know, what's fair and all that stuff. How was the process for you with the long layoff and not playing, and then finally knowing that you're going to be playing again soon?
I mean, yeah, first of all, I think everybody in the league was pissed that we weren't playing. Like, everybody wanted to play, but we also understand that, like, there are right conditions and safe conditions which needed to happen in order for us to play. So this whole past, I don't know, 2 weeks when this deals have been going back and forth, it has been pretty hectic. I'm not going to lie. It was crazy. Like, there were times when we would be voting on something in an hour and we'd get pushed back, and then we got to vote in 2 hours, and then we got to vote about a new deal in the next 24 hours. And so it was pretty crazy. I'm not going to lie. Like, there was moments where I was just like, I don't know if this is going to happen. I think we might be looking at into the possibility of going to a lockout where we don't play for the rest of the year. I think we all have to be prepared for that. And although it's not ideal, if it is something that the players need to do in order to get what they feel like they deserve, then I'm all in with that. But to me, it was a crazy experience with just how much I learned from how the league operates, how we as a union need to operate. And I think the most important thing is that the players really need to stick together. The MLS is hard because it's not like the NBA, for example, where 90% of the people are American. They all know how to speak English. You have guys here that have never spoken English. You have guys that are 35 that have kids that don't know how to speak English. You have guys that are 17 who still live at home who like speak fine English. So it's the players are just so just such a diverse pool of players that it gets so hard to get everybody to find a consensus. But I think that at the end of the day, you know, we found a deal that we thought was workable. I don't think it was the ideal deal for the players, but I do think we've come a long way from where we started. Although I do believe that we still have to go a long way in, you know, how we earn the respect from the league.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because you have a bunch of group. Like, you've got someone like yourself, young, and then you've got someone who's, like, got two kids. Like, what do I do with my kids? And you're like, what do I do with my PlayStation? You know what I mean? Like, everyone's got different priorities, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it makes it difficult
to get a crib for my PlayStation.
All right. What if my PlayStation cries at night in Orlando? Like, it's a very difficult thing to get everyone on the same page. But I mean, I know that the system is going to be different, right? There's going to be more of a bracket from what we're hearing. No one knows for sure. But clearly, it's not going to be an entire regular season. There's also not going to be fans. How are you feeling stepping into something like this? Or are you just really want to play soccer and you do not care the circumstances?
Well, personally for me, I was a yes to Orlando from the start. I feel like we had to play. We had to give the fans something. We had to give, you know, the TV deals that we have something. So I was pro Orlando all the way. I felt like we had to go. I'm itching to play. Like, I want to get back on the field. I want to get back to training. So I was pro Orlando from the start. But the thing is, we didn't just vote on Orlando. We voted on Orlando. We voted on the CBA. We voted on how we deal with the corona comes back. What does that look like? And so the vote was a very complex vote. So although to me, I was just like, let's go to Orlando, let's play. I didn't agree with some of the other things that were put in front of us. But to answer your question directly, yes, I want to go to Orlando and I want to play. And I was totally for that. I feel like the league presented, they came to a compromise. There were still a lot of holes and a lot of questions to be answered, but I believe they answered most of them, which was why I feel safe going to Orlando.
Okay. That's amazing. Well, it's go for it.
Like, I was going to say, watching Bundesliga play in front of no fans, we're seeing that there really is no home field advantage, and a lot of the games are ending in like 5-1, 6-1, 4-0. It seems like there's such a variance in score. For someone who's very rarely seen professionals play in front of no fans, what is it for you, someone who plays on the field? Is it the fact that there's no fans there? Does that change the game for you somehow? Like, you know, it's so hard for me to understand why there's one no home field advantage and such a different, you know, like a big sort of gap there in the scores.
Yeah, it's a different game. I feel like when you watch, for example, UFC without fans, you can hear the punches, you can hear the guys talk to each other.
Yeah, that really hurts.
And with soccer, it's going to be the same. Like, you're going to be able to hear what we're saying on the field. Like, you're going to be able to, like, hear when the ball is kicked and it hits somebody. Like, you'll be able to hear everything. So I feel like, although to me personally, it's terrible playing without fans, like, there's like the fans are a lot of the motivation and a lot of the energy of an environment, you know. Like, even in smaller markets, like, for example, ourselves, we have a pretty small fan base, but they are passionate. You can hear them from minute zero to minute 90. And it makes a huge difference, you know, when you get a corner and everybody is buzzing, the guys are standing, like, it gives you more energy. It gives you that extra mile that you can push yourself. And without them, it's going to be hard. You know, I feel like it's going to be like when we were little kids and just our parents watching. There's really not much there. Yeah. But we're going to have to find a way, you know. We're going to have to find a way to dig and, you know, to present a high-quality soccer. And at the end of the day, I think it's going to show the teams that were doing stuff during quarantine and the team that really weren't.
That'd be great. We should get like a little Bluetooth speaker so you could hear like, go Andre, run. It just reminds you back in the day, you know?
Well, we've seen like the fans in like, what is it, Denmark or something, that they did the on the screen, they put the Zoom of the fans watching. Yeah. How cool would that be? Just to
Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome. I think there's many ways that you can, you know, get the fans together. I feel like the MLS is going to come up with interesting ideas. They've already kind of talked about it, but at the end of the day, the most important thing is to keep everybody safe. And if there is a way to do that, then
I'm also curious about from the players' perspective when it came to these negotiations. Were there things that you guys wanted and didn't get from MLS that you felt like, oh, we really made this concession on?
Yeah, I think the compromise was big. I think that we compromised on a lot of the things that we felt like were non-negotiable, and we ended up being negotiable just because of being in a weird situation. And Orlando is one of them. I do think there's a lot of guys that did not want to go to Orlando. And the reason's valid. They don't want to live. Maybe their wife doesn't know how to speak English and they have to leave the wife in the house by themselves. They have kids. Who's going to take care of the kids? The kids don't speak English. Sometimes the wife is pregnant. She's going to have a kid while the guy's in Orlando. So there's a million reasons why you can say it was a compromise, because some guys, this was not the right time for them to leave, you know, and go to Orlando for a month or for a month and a half or how long it'll be, depending on, you know, if you keep winning games. So I do understand the side of all these players. And I mean, I do think that was the biggest compromise. I also think that, you know, the CBA that was ratified is not as good as the CBA that was originally proposed in January. So We had to make we also took pay cuts, which I think that nobody wants to take pay cuts, but we realized that it was part of the negotiation. And I do think that the league also you know, compromised some ways, but I do think we still have a long way to go in developing that relationship with the league of, like, we are both on the same side, not that we are in separate sides, because I do think it got ugly a lot of the times during this negotiation. And sometimes it has to happen. Sometimes it has to get ugly before it gets better. So at the end of the day, I do think it's a good deal, but I also believe there's a long way to go.
Okay.
It's amazing. Yeah.
There's you know, when it comes to the American soccer player and then just the soccer player in the U.S., like, all you guys are involved in, like, setting up really a future for the next generation of footballers in this country. So, you know, I know it's difficult, but we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the most important thing is, you know, really creating a league that's respected and that, you know, people want to come play here. And that's the most important thing, especially with the World Cup coming to us in the 6 years.
Yeah. So I noticed you have number 99, which not a ton of forwards will pick a number so high. I mean, obviously, Bradley Wright Phillip comes to mind. Diamande for a while comes to mind. What made you go with number 99? Does it mean anything to you? Or are you just like, yo, I keep it 100, but I can't have three numbers, so I'm going to go one less?
I mean, the original explanation was, I looked up the Rapids roster, and I was like, which number can I get? Oh, I can get number 9. Nobody's number 9. So because I got an email from the Rapids asking which number I wanted. So I say, I want 9. And they say, 9's not available. And I'm like, okay, 9's not available. I know they don't want to give it to me.
It's like you're on the phone with Amazon. You're like, as per your website.
But I know nobody's number 9. So, I mean, they might be making a signing that I don't know about, but whatever. I was like, I look up and 19 is Jack Price. So I know I'm not going to get 19. So then I want to have 9 because I've been number 9 my entire life. So I want to have something with 9. But then I like think 29 doesn't look very good. 39, 49, all these, I don't like any of these. So I was like, let's just go double 9 and see if it sticks. And I do think it looks really good on my jersey, you know. It looks good on the 99 with, because my last name's so big. So the 99 was good. And it was also my sister's from 99, so I kind of swayed and said, oh, this is like this is for you as well, and kind of like made her kind of happy. So it was not no specific reason. I just wanted to have the 9 on my jersey somehow.
Okay, that's, yeah, really, and you mentioned that you were very superstitious. This is a very common athlete thing. I think this is what makes you become a professional athlete, being so meticulous and particular about a lot of these things. Any other, besides, you know, the keeping the orange hair, anything else that you've done in the past to you know, for
dude,
good luck?
I have my rituals. Like every single game day, like I do something very specific that I don't tell anybody about. Nice. And like people, like if you pay it close attention, if you watch my games, like all the time, like the routine is the exact same as soon as I step on the field. Like I go to the same exact place. Like I have a way of stepping on the field every time. I do stuff before the game. I eat the same exact food. Like I am crazy about
superstition. What do you, feijoada before every game?
No, that's not a good idea. If I was eating feijoada and playing well, I have no, I mean, something is wrong with me.
Dude, I mean, don't say it's not a great idea, because some of us can have feijoada every time. I'm a stand-up comic. It just takes nothing for me to be on stage, but yeah, true. You probably wouldn't be able to run around with it. Have you ever been in a game where maybe you didn't get to follow your ritual exact, but you still did well and you were like, oh no?
Well, not really, because like as soon as I realize I made a mistake, it's right away. Like,
yeah.
For example, I can say that I put my right boot before my left boot every time. I put my right sock before my left sock. I put my right shin guard before my left shin guard. And so if I put my left shin guard before my right shin guard on accident, I already take one off and put him back.
Yeah, start
right
over. Yeah.
So it never happens. It's like really, really rare for me to forget to do one of the things. Like depending on the time of the game, it gets hard for me to do everything that I have to do. Like, for example, when we have like 1 p.m. kickoffs or 12 p.m. kickoffs, like I can't do everything that I usually do, but I find a way. I find a way to get them. And there's also levels to superstitions. Some of them are more important than others. So you got to accomplish like the big ones. Yeah. And then the small ones, it's like, oh, if you can do it, great. If you can't, that's fine. But there's some that are non-negotiables.
I love it because it sounds like, you know how when kids talk about their imaginary friends and they explain the system that they have and who does what?
I definitely have a system.
Yeah, you're like
it's like the CBA. There's points that are non-negotiable. It's not going to change. Yeah. There are other ones that we can work around.
I'm glad you ratified two things.
Andre's like, this is business. So
We got to play hardball.
Don't come next to me when I'm doing my thing. Like, when I'm doing my thing, just don't come close to me, please.
Other players on the team are like, why is there a bowl of red M&Ms here? Andre didn't get to it this time. They don't give a shit about that.
this is the thing too. I don't need other people for my superstitions. They're all me. Like, I can accomplish all of them by myself.
True forward.
So I know. Yeah. Yeah, so if I don't accomplish that, I know it's just my fault.
Okay. All right. So we had some questions from our supporters, and we had a question from Jess Hewen. She said she mentioned the goal that you got a goal in your debut against the Portland Timbers in a very legendary game with that was ice cold and snow. Now that you mentioned all the superstition, is there anything you remember particularly about that game and scoring that goal?
Well, I remember that game. I was scared. I was so scared. I was like, oh my God, like, what's going to happen? It's the first game of the season. We're playing the Timbers. They are obviously one of the best teams like lately. Like, they have Blanco, Valeri, like they have so many sick players. And I was just like, I hope I get in the game. And then halftime hits and I'm like, I hope I don't get in the game. This is insane. Like, I'm going to debut under this. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not even going to touch the ball. And then everybody's just going to be, oh, Andre Shinshiki, just another guy from college. So then it's the 85th minute, and Chad, who's our strength and conditioning guy, he calls me. He's like, Andre, you're going in. And I'm like sprinting down like the warm-up zone, foot frozen, shin frozen, knee frozen, everything's frozen. I'm from Brazil, obviously. I'm not used to this. And then, I get on the game, and I complete a pass, and I'm like, yes, I completed a pass. Like, that's sick. Like, that's awesome. Like, I got the pass.
You walk off the field, you're like, peace, did it.
And then, honestly, like, as soon as that ball came and I scored the goal, I was just like, God loves me. Like, it's got to be something. Like, there's nothing else I can ask for right now. Like, I had my friends in the stands covered in, like, blankets. Like, I ran. I did a knee slide. Probably burned all of my knees. Didn't feel a single thing. Like, it was amazing. It was so sick. I can't even, like, that goal was, like, probably my most important moment of my career ever.
You actually talked a little bit about coming from college. You know, so many people are saying that the draft isn't necessary, and don't worry, we got Generation Adidas kids. We don't need these college kids. They're not good enough. And you lit the league on fire. Like, one, what does that represent for you? Were you happy to be like, yo, them dudes in college got skill? And two, do you think you started with like a little bit of a chip on your shoulder because of that? Because you came from the draft. You think you have something to prove?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've had something to prove all of my life in college. I went to Denver. It's not a big school. I went to, like, I scored 28 goals and people did mock drafts. I'm on the second round. I'm like, these guys are crazy. Like, I cannot believe they're saying that about me. Like, all that guys in the MLS that then later said, oh, you're rookie of the year. Like, congrats, you're so good. I know that the mock draft 6 months ago, you were putting me like second round. So don't come tell me how you've always believed in me, because I know it's not true. But it's fine. I mean, I try not to like let it bring me down. I just try to like fuel me more. So that was the main thing. I mean, I do think the draft is extremely important. It was such an amazing like experience for me to go through the draft. I wish everybody had the same like experience, because it's sick. Like, going to the thing and like having all of everybody, like all the fans, all of the teams, GMs, all the coaches, like all the players, and like really knowing that like that moment is gonna change their lives. It's something that, like, to me it's so special. And I do think people are crazy when they say they don't need the draft anymore. Like, look how many sick players have come from the draft. There's literally like so many of them. And I do think that the homegrown system is also very good. Like, it's very good to develop players and to help players become professionals at a younger age. But not everybody is ready to become a professional at 17. So go to college, become a better player, and then come back and you're ready to go and you're ready to play. Like if I had signed a homegrown with a team when I was 17, I probably would have been done by now, because a lot of the teams don't worry about developing players. They just worry about playing them right away. And you can see that happen. I mean, I'm not going to name names here, but so many players who are already signed at 16, 15, and then at 18, 19, where they could have been developing somewhere, they're not. They're sitting on the bench doing nothing. So it's just, it really depends on each case. But I do think the draft is something extremely important and special too. Like that moment was so special for me, and I wish that everybody had the same chance.
Yeah.
Wow. So we were just talking about the draft, right? And how, you know, some people are critical of it. And obviously MLS is, you know, pretty much, it's pretty much gone. It's not the same as it will be. It's going to be just like, it's essentially just a conference call. I'm curious about, and we had a question from another fan of Gully Squad, MJ Lee, who asked about your time at the Monteverde Academy, yeah. Monteverde yeah. Academy. Since we're talking about the draft, and you mentioned even like players that, you know, this happens all over the world where they get signed at like 15, 16 years old, mm-hmm. and then they kind of just flame out. What was the plan for you and your family coming to the States and you know, for schooling and trying to become a professional? Like, why was that the approach and not to just stay in Brazil?
I mean, it's okay. So that's a lot of things. The first thing is I used to kind of suck when I was younger. Like, I wasn't very good. That's the simple answer. Like, yeah. I didn't try very hard. I didn't care. I was like, okay, when I played with bad kids, I was pretty bad when I played with like the good kids. So, and then I also, my family didn't move with me to America. Like, I've been living by myself here. So my family still lives in Brazil. So when I moved to Montverde, it was kind of like, you're not doing very well in Brazil, so go to the USA for a year and see what happens. And so I came here with the whole mentality of like, oh, learn more English, like play some soccer and do a whole year and see how it goes. But when I got to Montverde is a very like disciplined, like boarding school. So you live in the school, like it's insane. Like, you can't do anything. It's like this. It's so strict. Like, if you show up with like some facial hair, you get 6 hours. You have to pay them off by cleaning the cafeteria.
Oh my god!
You show up with the wrong shoes, you get hours. Your phone is on you, even in your pocket during the school hour. 12 hours. It's very, very strict. And so
You showed up with blonde facial hair. What was the penalty for that?
And they're like, yeah, you know what? We'll give you two hours because it looks amazing. Yeah.
you couldn't have a mohawk. Like, so to me, it was like a shock, right? Like, you come to this place, I have no idea what's going on. But the good thing is there were no distractions. I couldn't go out to party. I couldn't go out to hang out with my friends outside of the school. So there was no distractions. It was soccer and school. So to me, the blessing was I got so much better during that year. I came back and I was like, I have to come back for my senior year because my development is insane. So that's when I decided to come back. And then I eventually ended up going to University of Denver. But the whole idea of coming to Montverde wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be a pro. It was kind of like, I'm not doing very well in Brazil. Don't have any options. Not doing too hot in school. So go to the U.S., see what happens for a year. And then that's when the whole story and the journey in the U.S. began. But my family still lives in Brazil.
That's okay. Amazing.
Yeah, that's a positive story, because you usually, you know, you don't usually hear. Like, honestly, the thing that comes in my mind, I'm like, are you in Brazil, is the quality, like when you just got here, were you just better than the American players? Is that how low the bar is for the American soccer player?
Even though Montverde is...
Because you're saying, you're like... Because when you say, I wasn't even good, and then you get here, and I'm like lighting it up. I'm like, all right, well, yo, we got a problem.
Yeah. It wasn't like I was lighting it up, like, to be honest. But, like, Montverde doesn't really have that many American players. It's players from, like, Cameroon, yeah. Ghana, Senegal, Argentina, Costa Rica. It's players from everywhere in the world. And they get some sick players, they get some not so good players who, like, obviously just they pay full tuition for school and they play soccer. So the bar is like all over the place. And so I was kind of like in the middle, like pretty good, not that good, great. And then my senior year was when I was like actually lighting it up, and I was like, oh, I'm actually sick. But in between my junior and my senior year of high school, I played in Brazil for 3 months, and I played for Sao Paulo FC, which was one of the biggest clubs in Brazil.
Of course.
And I was playing fine with their U15s/U17s, because I was 16 at the time. So to me, I was like, I developed so much at Mount Verde. I have to go back because imagine if that happened during here. Imagine what I can do with 2 years there. Yeah, that's why I decided to come back. But the bar there wasn't low at all. And the level of excellence there is crazy. I mean, I'm sure you guys watch basketball. Like, I was there at the same time where D'Angelo Russell and Ben Simmons played there together for basketball.
Wow.
And, I mean, they are both, like, playing in the NBA now and, yeah, like, star players. So you see, like, the level of excellence for sports there is very high.
That's insane.
Okay. Just be careful when D'Angelo Russell is filming you, bro. Just you don't want to make news.
Actually, maybe if the Lakers would have given him 7 hours for having his phone, that would have been a little bit better. Would have been
he behaved pretty well. I had math class with him. He used to like put his feet out on the first row, so the professor had to walk around it. So he had some issues, but I mean, overall, never really spoke to the guy, so I can't speak anything bad of him.
It worked out. It worked
I like
out
that. do they function as like your agents? Do they try to help you get into like a good college or go pro, or are they just straight up like a boarding school?
No, they are very like college oriented, like prep school. So it's like you go there because you want to go to college, and you know, I mean, my offers came through soccer, but I feel like their like acceptance rate to college is like insane. So they are a very good school,
okay.
Just like as well as sports academics is like, and the GM of the organization, whose name is Mike Potempa, he's my good friend now, but he's also like a guy that cares so much about developing like humans. So he doesn't really just care about soccer. Like if you're getting hours, you're not playing. If you're doing bad in school, you're not playing. So he takes academics like very seriously too.
Okay. Wow.
And you went to like a boot camp, but you like soccer boot camp. Like it's a cleat.
It's a boot camp.
Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to ask about is just the upcoming tournament in Orlando and Colorado. Like, I mean, obviously you're a rookie of the year season. How are things feeling now in so far with the games that you've played? I know the layoff. How are you excited you are to get back? But how do you feel the cohesion of the Colorado Rapids is going to be? I know we just had Kai Kamara on recently. I'm sure you have a great relationship with him, but how does it all feel in general looking forward to all this?
Man, I mean, I'm super excited. I mean, you're 2-0, so you can't ask for anything else on the start of the season. You win two games, you're buzzing, then obviously Corona hits, nobody's playing, and it sucks. But we've done a lot of things during this off time to kind of just, you know, stay together as a team. You know, we did a lot of video sessions with Robin Fraser and the rest of the assistant coaches. You know, obviously the individuals training have been taken very seriously. Like, and by that, I mean, they are killing us. Like, I go there and I come out dead. So they are really pushing up the fitness. And so I'm really excited, man. I think that we have a great team. You know, we have depth. We have young guys. We have experienced guys. We have guys that are, you know, good ball passers. Guys that are athletic. We're just an all-around very solid squad, and so I am very excited for what this year has to bring. I have no idea what's going to look like once we actually get to Orlando and everybody's playing, but I mean, I feel very confident on my team, and I'm not just saying that from just because I have to say. I do genuinely believe that we have a good team, and I think the results have proven that.
All right.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what you and Kai do together, man, because that was turning into a really fun partnership.
And Jonathan Lewis. We know him.
Our homie.
At NYCS. Our homie, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have so many good guys, like, up top, in the back. Like, we have just a very deep team. And so, you know, I mean, in the heat in Orlando at 9 p.m., you're going to need your subs. And so, you know, whether that is me or someone else, like you need guys that are going to step up and play. And so that's the most important thing, is to get results.
We did it. Another one in the books. Thank you, Andre Shinyashike, for joining us. I mean, I'm not even, not exaggerating. This is one of the most fun interviews, the most informative interviews we've ever done. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Is there anything you want to let people know before we sign off?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you guys for inviting me. You know, I appreciate it. I know you guys are, you know, two very funny personalities. And so to have me on the show, it's been great. You know, it's one of the best interviews I've done as well. And so I just want to thank you guys. Thank you guys for everything, really. And I'm super excited to play in Orlando. I hope the fans, you know, all not come out and watch us, but, you know, turn on your TV and watch us, give us that, you know, that love, because we surely need it. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, man. Yeah. Again, make sure to follow Andre on all social media. Follow at Fubo Sports if you'd like to watch full episodes on our YouTube channel. Follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social media. Yep. We appreciate everyone who tunes in. And, yeah, make sure to watch the tournament that happens in Orlando. MLS players are going to be very, very grateful. And we finally have soccer back, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Let's go.
So with that said, for Andre Shinyashiki, my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros. And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!